Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network. Another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. Strange introduction lead-in, but we're squared away, and I'm glad you're here to join me December 18th, 2015. Christmas coming up, New Year coming up, just finished Hanukkah for everybody who celebrates Hanukkah. It's supposed to be a joyous time of year, but unfortunately, as we all know, it's a difficult time for our country. Washington has gone haywire. You watch the presidential debates, and things aren't always what they seem to be. Very disconcerting to be in a situation where there's a war on terror. Congress still doesn't seem to get it. They say the right things, but don't do the right things. And certainly, the Obama administration seems missing in action. Just very disturbing. So we're going to get into all of that today through the prism of immigration, which, as you know, I believe is the number one issue for national security from within the borders of the United States of America. Immigration is pivotal. Having spent 30 years of my career with the INS, I can tell you that there is no set of laws that could be more important for helping us to protect our country and our citizens than the immigration laws and the borders of the United States. And that's what this program has been about ever since 9/11, hasn't it? The discussion about the failures of the immigration system that enabled the attacks and that continue to do so much harm to our country, these failures of the immigration system. So I'm glad you're here. Lots to talk about this evening. But let me remind you about some websites I would like for you to go visit. Please, first of all, check out my own personal website, michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. For many years, I have been writing for a terrific organization, Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org. It's a mouthful of words, but C-A-P-S, capsweb.org will get you right to the website where I join many other writers and folks who have concerns about so many of the failures of our government and not just where it impacts California. I know that for those of you who do not live in California, when you hear Californians for Population Stabilization, you think, wow, what's that got to do with me? Well, you know, California has been, for the longest time, the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. With all the problems that we've seen in California because of failures of border security and other issues, sanctuary, city policies, what California has been experiencing is now what most of our states are experiencing clear across the country. And New York, certainly no exception. Also, I have quite a few articles up and running over at Front Page Magazine. I'm very happy to be a columnist for them. Recently, the Daily Caller has published my articles, as has The Social Contract, my favorite quarterly journal. I wrote a major article for them for the summer edition, and it focused on 9/11 and where the commission findings and recommendations went and where America went, and they went in opposite directions, you know. So that's something that I think you may find useful to use as reference material. It was the lead article. You can find it online, The Social Contract. And in fact, when their winter edition comes out, and it's hard to believe that the winter edition is not far from being published, released, and posted on the websites for my favorite price of free, as is the case with all these websites. That's one of the wonderful things about the computers, is negatives and positives. These websites are certainly the positives. But we're going to take a hard look at immigration again, and we're going to look at issues that I hope will enlighten you. because, you know, it is so difficult to listen to the presidential debates and listen to the promises and think you hear something that you want to hear and then find out that it really wasn't what you thought you were hearing. It's kind of like dealing with a crooked used car salesman, you know. Everything is great, just don't look under the hood, because once you look under the hood, you may not want to buy the car. You know, I was watching the debate, and I'm sure that you were all watching this last debate, where Rubio and Cruz really went at it. And it was pretty amazing. And, you know, for the longest time, I've been talking about how Ted Cruz has been calling for a 500% increase in the number of H-1B visas, calling for a doubling of the number of lawful immigrants admitted every year, you know, for all the talk that we hear about how it's anti-immigrant to enforce the laws. Oh, my God, Mike Cutler's a crazy man. He's anti-immigrant. He wants those laws enforced. Folks, being pro-enforcement is pro-immigrant. Stop and think about it. This is this nonsense that we have been listening to for the longest time. And people call it political correctness. It's not political correctness. Please stop referring to this garbage as being politically correct. Okay? Political correctness is to be careful to not use words that insult people. I am politically correct. The N-word, I absolutely refuse to use it under any circumstances, period, because I am being politically correct. Same thing with references to anybody else's race, religion, ethnicity. We should not be derisive of any human being based on those superficial factors. That is true political correctness, and that's who I am. This nonsense about don't use the word alien. Oh, we're being politically correct. No, we're not. We're being hoodwinked. This is Orwellian. This is about using deceptive language to swindle us. Do you see the difference? Be so careful with that, because when you attribute this idea of not using the word alien because we're being politically correct, you are agreeing with our adversaries, the people who say, oh, my God, this is terrible. And you're saying, oh, you're right, it's terrible, and we have to be PC. No, it is Orwellian. The term alien simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. Where is the insult? You see, if this is truly an insulting term, then it's a matter of political correctness to not use it. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is Orwellian, so they could then say that anybody who's not a citizen is an immigrant, and if you oppose the presence of any non-citizen, you're being anti-immigrant, and we are a nation of immigrants, so now you're anti-American. It's convoluted, but they do it all the time, and for many people, it works. So please, whenever you hear this nonsense about anti-immigrant and all this other crap, don't buy into it. It's Orwellian. It is artful, deceptive use of language. Very important to make the distinction. But in any event, for the longest time, we've been hearing all this nonsense about how we have to let everybody in and how it's about compassion and, you know, and it's about illegal immigration and we got to fix illegal immigration. And Ted Cruz was right there with that, you know. I love legal immigration. Americans love legal immigration. Well, listen to what Rubio had said to him. Rubio said, wait a minute, you were the guy who wanted to, you know, have a 500% increase in the number of H-1B visas. You were the guy who wanted to double the number of legal immigrants from 1 million to 2 million. And when I used to talk about it, people told me, oh, you have to be mistaken. Ted Cruz is strong on immigration. And I'd say, why is that? Why do you believe that? And they'd say to me, well, you've heard what he said. We're going to secure that border first. We're going to secure that border. Right? We're going to secure that border. And you know, it was a revelation for many people when I came out and started writing about it and speaking about it at public events. And I said, wait a minute. We're a country of 50 border states. Aliens aren't just running the Mexican border. They're coming in across the Canadian border. They're stowing away on ships. They're coming with visas. They're coming under the visa waiver program. They're coming as immigrants. They're coming as non-immigrants. They're lying on their applications. We're not screening people properly. Oh, no, no, but this is about illegal immigration. And I would say, no, no, no. It's the entire immigration system. And so during the debate, Marco Rubio called out Ted Cruz and went after him over his desire to flood the United States with a 500% increase with 325,000 high-tech workers. And in fact, this omnibus bill just included a major increase in the number of H-2B visas for low-skilled workers. Do we have a shortage of workers in America with the unemployment rates we have? Think about it. What lunacy are we listening to? So, you know, they put this nonsense together, and so there's Rubio attacking Cruz, and Cruz turns around and says, wait a minute, you were part of the Gang of Eight. You were part of the Gang of Eight, and you wanted to legalize these people. And Rubio accuses Cruz of wanting to legalize them, and Cruz says, no, I voted against the bill. Well, it was interesting because I was watching, I believe it was Megyn Kelly last night, and they had two folks on to talk about it, and they got it right. I wanted to see if they would, and they did. And they talked about how Cruz had an objection to the Bill of Eight bill, which, by the way, you can look it up, was S-744, S as in Senate, S-744. Cruz proposed an amendment, Cruz 5, and that was the amendment that would have increased H-1B visas by 500%. You know, so now Cruz is saying, well, I voted against that bill. Yeah, he didn't think it allowed enough foreign workers in. This is the kind of lunacy that we're listening to from both sides. Is there any wonder that Donald Trump is taking off like a skyrocket in the polls? I wish he would flesh out what he really plans to do. That does give me cause for pause. I'm not endorsing anybody yet. It's way too early, way too early. But when you compare the nonsense that went on between Rubio and Cruz, these guys are two sides of the same coin. It's about open borders. It's about giving lawful status to millions of illegal aliens without the ability to vet them. You see, that's the critical issue. There is no way to vet them. If you want to look at this from a rational perspective, the word vetting suddenly emerged as an issue for immigration with the Syrian refugees. Oh, my God, we can't vet those refugees. How can we let them in? And I have to tell you, I was kind of startled by that statement. You know, I've been down to South Carolina. I've been to Spartanburg. I was in Greenville. I had a meeting with Trey Gowdy while I was down there. I went before one of the county councils, and infuriating. I mean, if you think Washington is bad, the county council was at least as bad. Remarkable stuff going on with politics. We literally have politicians playing politics with America's national security and the lives of American citizens. I have never seen our government more corrupt. I have never been more angry. I've never been more infuriated. You know, look at the backdrop for all of this. The terror attacks of 9/11. Okay? We had the Boston Marathon bombing. We've had other terrorist attacks that thankfully failed. The attempted detonation of that SUV bomb in Times Square by Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, back in 2010. And now you have what just happened in California, and you had the Paris attacks. We know that the attackers are out there. We do a lot of crazy things in this country. None of them or few of them make sense. Few of them protect us. I was on the phone today with my good friend, and I'm proud to call him a friend, Congressman Lou Barletta. You know, for all of the members of Congress that we are disgusted with, Lou Barletta is a real good guy. Proud to call him a friend. Senator Jeff Sessions, I think, does a tremendous job. Congressman Steve King, there are people on our side. And by the way, if you'll notice, I'm mentioning all Republican names. I'm registered as a Democrat. We need to forget about the parties because they certainly have forgotten about us. They both stink. It's the Democrats and repugnant cans. But Lou and I had a lengthy conversation. He called me back as he was driving home to Pennsylvania from Washington. And so we had this wonderful conversation, and we were talking about the lunacy of how the Obama administration is reacting to the terror attacks in California by calling for more gun control. At a time when Americans should be encouraged to be able to defend themselves and their neighbors, they're being hammered for exercising their Second Amendment rights in our Constitution. Of course, the Constitution doesn't seem to mean that much to so many people. There was a blurb on the TV yesterday over at Fox where they tried to send a bogus petition around at Yale, of all places, Yale University. This is where our nation's leaders very often come from, and I use those terms advisedly, leaders. And they were willing to suspend the First Amendment, freedom of speech. I mean, remarkable. Remarkable. So the Second Amendment is about the right to bear arms. If ever you would want people who know how to handle firearms to be able to protect their communities, this is the time. But, you know, I'm going to go off topic on immigration just for a moment, because this is something I had said to Lou, and it's something that I had said to a radio talk show host, Neil Young, and I'm going to be on Neil's program tomorrow morning up in New Hampshire. I mean, I'll be here, but his show is in New Hampshire. I'll still be in New York, but my voice will be up there through the magic of radio. And I said, you know, it's crazy that we have no gun zones, you know, gun-free zones all around our schools. Gun-free zone. What does that really mean? I mean, do you really think that some terrorist who's about to attack a school is going to see the sign that says gun-free zone, and he's immediately, or she's immediately going to take the gun and throw it down the sewer because, by God, this is a gun-free zone, and why am I holding a gun in my hand? What we are telling the terrorists is that if you go to a school, you're going to encounter no resistance. You know, as a retired federal agent, I carry a firearm. I do not like open carry. Texas now gives the people that are authorized to carry firearms the choice of open carry or concealed carry. I can't imagine wanting open carry. The element of surprise is always an advantage. You never want to let people know whether or not you're carrying. And to tell the bad guys that our schools are the places where they can expect zero resistance is insane. The most precious members of our society are our children. Americans, probably more than any other people on the planet, have such a strong maternal and paternal instinct towards children, which is why the DREAM Act infuriated me, because we were told it's about kids and the age cutoff is 31, because everybody who understands human nature and the American mindset knows how much we are concerned about children, which is what makes us so unique and such a wonderful country, one of many reasons why. So, of course, they had to find a way to exploit the American mindset about protecting children, the DREAM Act, the children. You know, give me a break. It was like listening to Kasich. Oh, we can't deport illegal aliens. Think of the children. And every time I hear it, I wind up having a headache. My head starts spinning like a top. You know, because, by the way, in the law there's a provision that says you cannot deport an illegal alien, or an illegal alien can apply for termination of removal proceedings if they've been here for at least 10 years and have immediate family members who are either resident aliens or U.S. citizens who would suffer extreme hardship if they were to be deported. So if you're an illegal alien and you have no criminal history and you have children in the United States, when you go before the immigration judge, you could say, Your Honor, I've been living in the United States for the last 12 years. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and if I went home, it would be devastating to her. The provision's there. But, you know, Kasich was doing his usual thing, because we know where he's coming from. You know, another one of those officials who doesn't give a damn about the average American. It's about, let's bring in more foreign workers, more foreign this and more foreign that. The hell with the Americans. The hell with the fact that one in four American children now lives below the poverty line. I mean, this is astonishing. So, you know, we put up these signs near our schools, gun-free zone. What in the world are we thinking? What in the world? Guns don't jump up and shoot people. You know, the old thing, people kill people, guns don't kill people. We've had terrorists stab people. Are we going to outlaw cutlery? You know, terrorists can jump in cars and mow people down. Are we going to ban automobiles? I mean, at what point does someone wake up and smell the coffee? But of all the things that we should not be seeing, in my humble opinion, it's signs proclaiming schools to be gun-free zones, because only law-abiding people are going to abide by our laws. I have a shock for our politicians. Terrorists don't abide by our laws. We're being run by this nation's being run by a bunch of nincompoops and mental incompetents and crooks. And some of these people possess all of those traits. So just something I had to throw out there. please reach out to your local officials, make sure those bloody signs are taken down, and maybe it's time for people to rethink this whole business about firearms. You know, I don't want crazy people running around with guns out there, and I don't want people carrying weapons who haven't been properly trained. You don't drive a car till you have a license. You don't fly an airplane until you're licensed and certified. I agree with that about firearms. You know, I had to qualify every 90 days as a federal agent. It's not enough that you have a gun. Yay, you know, the Second Amendment. Know how to handle it. Know what's right, what's wrong, how to handle it safely. Think about if you miss the bad guy, who's standing behind the bad guy, you get to hit a bunch of innocent people. There's a lot of responsibility and a lot of thought that needs to go into safely carrying and using firearms. But anybody willing to undergo the training and you know, take on that discipline could be an important asset for local public safety. But we've got to get rid of this mindset that we're going to plaster our schools with these wacky posters, gun-free zone. It's putting a bullseye on our children. It's putting a bullseye on our schools. And folks, when you see foolishness, you're compelled to speak out. You know, I always make the point at the end of my programs. I'm going to make my point now, and you'll hear it later again. Democracy is not a spectator sport. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And if we allow the stupidity to continue and we allow the imbeciles to continue to run our country, we are in deep trouble. And that's why we are in deep trouble. You know, I don't remember which of the members of Congress, but one of our esteemed senators, I don't know if it was Barbara Boxer or someone else, but complaining bitterly about the extra large magazines and said, you know, if we can stop those big magazines once they're used up, then they'll be off the street. And it's like, you know, did you bother to check with anybody about firearms to find out how guns work? You know, you put the bullets in the magazine and then you put the magazine in the gun. And when you get done firing the gun and you've emptied out all the bullets, you take out the magazine and you add more bullets. It doesn't go away. So you have people formulating laws and policies with zero understanding about firearms. How crazy is that? This is what we keep seeing constantly. And then what I really love is when journalists want to add gravitas, seriousness to their program. We're going to bring on Congressman Schmidlap, chairs the House Committee on whatever. He's a congressman. They hold hearings to bring in the experts. You really want to be impressive? Bring on the experts. You want to talk to a congressman about where they stand? That's one thing. But to tell the congressman to go on TV and tell the American people what's safe and what's not safe. And you know, it's so funny where immigration's concerned, because I'm tired of seeing military people coming in to talk about immigration. How screwy is that? Think about it. You know, I've been on many television programs, many radio programs, and people will say to me, well, militarily, what should our strategy be in Iraq? What should our policy be in Afghanistan? I have a simple answer for them. I don't know. You need a military guy to tell you about that. But how many times do you see generals and colonels and commandos, and they'll tell you how to run immigration? Based on what? Based on what? Immigration is immigration. It's not military. It's a unique area. And it's not even being a police officer. And then we see the other nonsense. They'll bring in a border sheriff, and I love that term, again, ignoring the fact that we have 50 border states. They bring some sheriff in from Arizona, Texas, whatever, and they are having a serious problem because that border is a speed bump under this administration. So I get that, and that's fine. But then they very often start to discuss what should be done to help enforce our immigration laws. And unless they want to talk about how local law enforcement, in conjunction with what used to be called the 287, I guess they're still using the term 287G program, that's fair. But I have seen them go well beyond that. And here's my contention. If you're going to talk about immigration, bring on people who have the experience. Because these other folks are misleading the American public. Case in point, how many times do you see the politicians make these statements, and the journalists? Well, if an alien has been living in the United States for 7 years and has no criminal history, then of course we should let them stay here. Well, first of all, there's something known as a sleeper agent. That's someone who stays here for years waiting for a phone call. But here's the other point. And nobody raises the question, so I'll raise it now. And I want you to think about it the next time you hear this foolishness being spewed on some television program. If we were to legalize what may well be a population of 30 or 40 million illegal aliens, but even with the number 12 million, 15 million, Saldana, the head of the FBI, just said 15 million, you are talking about an impossibility for screening. You cannot interview millions of people. You cannot conduct field investigations for millions of applications. They will be lucky if the adjudications officers will have the time to even look at every page in the application. And, you know, when the government says we're going to clear up the backlog, and I know a lot of my conservative friends who think that government is so wasteful and inefficient, they cheer, yeah, get rid of that backlog. The best way to get rid of the backlog, boys and girls, is to simply take out that approval stamp and work it at warp speed. It only takes minutes to approve an application. It can take days or weeks to deny one. To deny an application for immigration benefits very often requires that an agent goes out and does a field investigation. So you're waiting all this time for that investigation to be done. If and when they finally do the investigation, they have to write the report. Then the report comes back to the adjudicator. The adjudicator then writes a denial incorporating the report, but may have to then go to one of the government lawyers to check for legal sufficiency, because it's anticipated that if they deny the application, the alien will file an appeal. So the decision has to be written up in the kind of language that's bulletproof. Time-consuming. On the other hand, if you simply take out the approval stamp and go ba-boom, 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 and you stamp everything and staple everything together, it takes minutes, nobody appeals it, and you've cleared up the backlog. And there's no way of knowing how long an illegal alien has been living in the United States if they run the border. They create no record of entry. There's no opportunity to do field investigations. There's no opportunity to do an in-depth interview. What do you think is going to happen? And if you look at what the 9/11 Commission warned about, it was the legal immigration process that was easily exploited by terrorists, and not only the 9/11 terrorists, but other terrorists, and they went on to be able to attack us. Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, was admitted into the United States at the age of 20 on a student visa. Got to be a U.S. citizen. What kind of background investigation do you think they did? They're supposed to do a good moral character investigation. It's not enough that you don't have convictions. You're also supposed to be a basically decent human being. You know, the guy that would get drunk and go to the brothels and beat up his wife and kick the cat and beat up his children and start fights with the neighbors would not be naturalized when I started with immigration, because such an individual was not said to possess good moral character. You know, hanging out in a brothel, unless you're in Nevada, is a crime. Beating up on your spouse is not acceptable under any circumstances. And if the evidence was developed that this was going on, we wouldn't naturalize that guy. Now they make a big deal that they run a set of fingerprints and we're supposed to say thank you so much. Lunacy is the order of the day. And Saldana went before a hearing just this past week, and what was so astonishing, the Washington Times actually had an article about it. Think about that. Here's an article about Saldana, and so the article says, this is the headline, and it was December 2nd, 2015. And I'm including it in an article for capsweb.org, but you have to see this to believe it. ICE gives away $113 million, says not enough illegal immigrants to deport. Did you hear what I just said to you? Does this make any sense to anybody? Is this not unfathomable? You know, when the Congress, because of the budget crisis, got involved in the sequestration of funding, what we kept hearing about was, well, Congress took the money away, so we're going to release a bunch of criminal aliens. Lots of luck, folks. It's the equivalent of a presidential temper tantrum. The little guy in the White House didn't like what the Congress did, so I'm going to have a temper tantrum. It was childish, and it put American lives at risk, and no doubt it cost American and other lives as well, because criminal aliens are most likely to carry out their crimes within ethnic immigrant communities. So we had an administration led by a president who, through his problems of being grammatically challenged, he can apparently only conjugate verbs in the first person singular, said, "Well, tell you what, if you're not going to do what I want, we're going to release the criminals, you know, release the hounds." Thousands of criminal aliens turned loose. Wouldn't tell us who they were, where they were being released. Too bad. The most transparent administration that we were promised turned into the most opaque administration. And they released criminal aliens, including people who had killed people. Why? They sequestered our funds. Well, December 2nd of this year, just a couple of weeks ago, Ms. Saldana, the head of ICE and Customs Enforcement, went before Congress and said, "We turned back $113 million because we couldn't find anybody worth deporting. We have set such a high standard, we're not just going to deport any illegal alien, you know." I mean, this is madness, folks. This is madness. And if you look at what the 9/11 Commission said, the thrust of the Commission report, where immigration was concerned, is that we need routine immigration law enforcement. What most people don't know is that little cases lead to the big cases. When I was a brand new agent, I was given the assignment of questioning a young Israeli who had come into the United States with an altered visa. He was in his mid-20s. The presumption was he was coming to work. He had been here once before, went home, came back, and because his visa was for a single entry, he altered the visa stamp. It was much less sophisticated back then. This was 1976. He altered the visa to read two entries, and then he changed the year of expiration so that it was still within the time of the visa, although it had really expired. That's all this case was supposed to be. Take a statement if he doesn't want to talk to you, because even though he's here as an alien, he's covered by the Constitution, by the Fifth Amendment. He can certainly decline to speak to you. He spoke to me, and we went back and forth, and the long story short was, I became very suspicious of so many things that he said to me during the interview. I ultimately found on his person a concealed pocket in his shirt, and in the shirt was a diagram of an Israeli oil refinery. It was a plan to blow it up. We worked with the Israelis and the FBI. We prevented the attack. It started out as a basic, fundamental, no big deal kind of thing that a guy who had less than a year on the job as an agent should be able to handle without any problems. And look where it took us. Routine immigration law enforcement, routine law enforcement period, very often yields some very important results. Many of the FBI's 10 most wanted get arrested for running a red light, speeding, blowing a stop sign. And the cop pulls them over, and all of a sudden they find out that they've just snagged a pretty big fish. Not a little goldfish, but a shark. You see, when you're out there on the street, you drop your hook as an agent or as a cop into a very deep ocean. Very deep ocean. And when you catch that fish, you don't know what fish you caught. And that's why we fingerprint and photograph, and increasingly we're using DNA and retina scans, because bad guys conceal their identities, they conceal their intentions, they conceal their methods of travel. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it with the Syrian refugees. We saw it in San Bernardino, California, the discussions about the K-1 visa program and why didn't they check social media. And all we keep hearing about are terror watch lists. Terror watch lists. You know, maybe Santa Claus checking his list. But if all we can do is check terror watch lists, we are in very deep trouble. We don't know what we don't know. And really and truly, the solution to dealing with the immigration component of national security, if I was running ICE, would be to greatly increase the number of ICE agents. But we should not rush into trying to hire thousands of agents overnight, because then, here we go again, the screening process, the vetting process will, by necessity, with that kind of volume, be haphazard at best. It needs to be done in a serious, careful manner. But in order to be able to hit the ground running, because immigration is a critical component to this puzzle, if you will, what I would do if I had a magic wand is move agents from the DEA, from the IRS, from the ATF, and from the FBI, and from the Marshals Service into immigration. Go out there and focus your efforts on the ethnic immigrant communities of those countries that traditionally sponsor terrorism, that are involved with terrorism. The Pakistani community, the Chechenian community. Go right down the list, which communities. And they should get the lion's share of the attention from immigration. We did something very similar back in the late 70s when the Iranians overran the U.S. embassy in Tehran, Iran. We were charged with going out and finding every illegal Iranian that we could to try to, number one, move them out of the country. And you could also, by doing this, folks, cultivate informants. You know, I don't believe we can go out there and start, you know, keeping people out of the country based on religion. That's a problem. And I remember instances when Russians claimed to be facing anti-Semitism to get political asylum in the United States, and in fact they weren't Jewish. They were members of the Russian mob. So religious tests, I think, create constitutional problems. I'm not a lawyer, certainly not a constitutional lawyer, but it does concern me. But there's got to be a rational way of dealing with the threat. And the easiest way of dealing with the threat, and there is legal precedence, and nobody could argue about it, is to focus the resources of immigration primarily on citizens of those countries that sponsor terrorism. And yes, I know there are terrorists living in Belgium and France and England and Spain and Germany. We've seen it. But if you're out in those ethnic immigrant communities, you'll be crossing their paths also, and you'll be cultivating the informants, and we will get rid of a big chunk of that haystack in which these deadly needles are concealing themselves. And we need to convince the world that no longer can you come to America with an expectation of being rewarded for violating our laws. You come to America and violate our laws, there will be consequences. You know, Chuck Schumer, I've often written about him, lacks mouth-ear coordination. His own ears don't hear what comes out of his own mouth. He goes before the cameras and rants and raves about how, goodness gracious, when people trespass on the Brooklyn Bridge and the World Trade Center, this should be a federal crime. They should go to jail for 5 years. Boy, Chuck is tough. Boy, is he tough. But when they trespass on America, Chuck suddenly thinks they've earned a pathway to citizenship. Hillary Clinton goes out there and accuses the Republicans of not wanting to naturalize the immigrants. Really? No, she knows damn well she's lying. She has a problem with that, though, as we've seen time and again. She's talking about Republicans who don't want to provide a path to citizenship for illegal aliens. It's the words, folks. They matter. You know, Bill Clinton redefined the word is. You have the word alien and immigrant being redefined. You have Ted Cruz emphasizing Americans love legal immigration. Not so fast, Ted. Not so fast. Legal immigration, when A, it has integrity, and B, it not only lives up to the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Our immigration laws were originally enacted to protect the jobs of American workers. The Labor Department ran immigration prior to the Second World War. That's how we built the middle class, in case you've missed the fact in your studies, you see. And this is really important, super important. And it infuriates me to listen to the nonsense, you know, to wave the banner and say, I'm here to enforce the law. And by the way, I want to change the law so we can bring in a 500% increase in the number of H-1B visas, even as we are firing American workers who have worked in those industries for decades, have busted their rear ends, have gotten the degrees, have demonstrated loyalties to their companies, and then take the big shaft. So any politician who thinks this is the time to bring in more foreign workers, whether at the bottom of the totem pole economically or the high-tech workers, they are metaphorically putting a knife in our back, and it's destroying our economy. Foreign workers do what you would expect them to do, and I don't blame them. I would do the same thing if any other country was stupid enough to do the same as we're doing, because we are supremely corrupt. They come to America making more money than they could earn back home, and they send the money home out of our economy. It increases our national debt. It suppresses American wages, which is good initially for the companies because they want to lower their costs, but ultimately it destroys the consumer base. Pew Research did a study, I believe it was last week, and they said, you know what? For the first time in I don't know how long, the middle class in America is now the minority. We used to be the majority. Most Americans were in the middle class. That was the American dream, which they have gutted. And I predicted this for a long time, saying that it wouldn't be long before they would set up a diorama in the Museum of Natural History and have a display of the American middle class family next to the T-Rex, to the Neanderthal display. Well, that's where we are. The middle class is being ravaged and savaged by our own leaders, by our own so-called representatives. It's astonishing. We keep expanding the visa waiver program. You're hearing all about the visa waiver program. Do you know why they've increased the visa waiver program? 26 visa waiver countries on 9/11, 38 now, and everyone now agrees we got to fix it. And, of course, the fixes they offered are more BS. The United States Chamber of Commerce, the Hotel, Hospitality, Travel, and Manufacturing Associations are all pushing. And they're saying, you must process applications for visas faster and let more people in without visas altogether. And do you know that today, folks, more aliens enter the United States as non-immigrants without visas than with visas? You can thank the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for undermining the national security of the United States so they can make a buck. And you know, as I said in one of my recent commentaries for Front Page Magazine, maybe they're trying to drum up business for the funeral homes. Just maybe. I mean, it's a business, but in order for the funeral homes to make money, people have to die. So God only knows they are increasing the dangers to public safety and national security. But look at it this way. We're generating business for the funeral homes. This is insanity. And yet today, you see members of Congress pass the omnibus bill, which increased the H-2B visa program. And I spoke to Lou, and before I could ask him, he told me. He said, Mike, I know you're wondering where I am on that bill. I said, well, Lou, the thought crossed my mind. He said, I could never vote for that bill. You see, that's what representation is supposed to be about, folks. We're supposed to be represented. We're in a situation where I wake up every morning worried about what the administration and what our government is going to do to us, rather than be confident that what they would do for us would be in our best interest. They're not doing it for us, they're doing it to us. And there's a world of difference between for and to. And I'm not talking about the numbers. This is a level of corruption and malfeasance that I have to tell you, I never thought was doable or possible. When I was a kid, I never doubted that the politicians would put American citizens ahead of the rest of the world. Everybody understood for America to do well, Americans had to do well. I wrote articles with that very title, that very theme. Everybody felt we were in it together. Not anymore. You have multinational corporations. The only pledge of allegiance that they say is a pledge of allegiance to their bank accounts, certainly not to the American flag. You have politicians who accept those massive campaign contributions, and you got to love the term bundlers. We've been hearing a lot about bundlers. They take all the money that the little folks send in, you know, 18 cents and $5 and $10, and they bundle it together. You know, having spent 30 years as a federal agent, doesn't it sound remarkably like money laundering and money structuring, which are felonies, by the way? Bundlers, give me a break. The system is so corrupt, and it was remarkable because The Hill published an article. The Hill, by the way, for those of you not familiar, and I suggest you go to the website and subscribe. It's free. so much information that's free. You got to keep on top of this, folks. Forget about Dancing with the Stars. It doesn't matter. American lives are on the line. The future of your children and your children's children are on the line. Turn away from that TV and go to your computer screen and start subscribing to a bunch of good websites. And I'll put in a plug while I'm at it. My own website, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract. Check those out. We try hard to provide you with that information that the lame stream media won't touch with a 10-foot pole. Maybe they'll wake up soon. Although I do have to commend ABC News. They've been doing a pretty good job of talking about immigration fraud. That has been encouraging. But, you know, for the most part, the information's not out there. And if you look at what is being done to us, you go to the Hill, and they talked about how in the dead of night, the leadership of the Republican Party slid that little zinger in there about the H-2B visa program. People say to me, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I tell them, listen, I'm registered as a Democrat. Both parties are treating Americans so terribly. I can't support those parties. And I don't think any American supports those parties any longer, or few Americans do. Anybody who's capable of thinking, anybody who's capable of fogging a mirror. If you are breathing and conscious, how are these parties helping America or Americans? Why in the world would we be bringing in low-skilled workers in ever greater numbers so they could send more money home, so we can displace more American workers? That's what we really need to do, folks, is put more Americans out of work, put more Americans on welfare, more Americans on the safety net programs. God knows there's enough middle-class workers in that situation now. And you turn on the TV this weekend and you'll hear the talking heads, gee, the economy's not doing well. I wonder why. Well, you've destroyed your consumer base. What do you expect it to do? When people can go to a store and make purchases with belly button lint, it'll be okay. But as long as these pesky storekeepers and businesses expect you to pay with money, well, I think we've got a problem. I think we've got a problem. Because the consumer base and America's tax base keeps on contracting. And it's contracting because American workers are being made to compete with foreign workers. And Alan Greenspan, the thug, the words that come to my mind, I just don't want to use those words. I have no use for that bum. He was the guy who testified for Chuck Schumer back April 30th, 2009. You can check it out. He referred to American skilled workers as the privileged elite. The middle-class privileged elite talked about how they were earning this wage premium because they were being shielded from foreign competition. And if we could change the immigration law, and that's the point, folks, that's why they call it immigration reform, change. What do they want to change about the law? Why is the system broken? Because it limited how many H-1B visas are being issued. Ask Ted Cruz, the guy that wants to put that number through the roof. We need more foreign workers. We need to fire more Americans. We need to see more money being sent out of the country. Ted Cruz, ask Marco Rubio. He was a big fan and still is of increasing those work visas. You see, it's destroying the economy and it's destroying the American dream for Americans. Why do you think we have record numbers of Americans who are unemployed even though they have the education that should guarantee a decent lifestyle? People generally go to college to pursue a dream, and the dream usually includes a profession that pays well. And Greenspan comes along and says, ah, not so fast. We have to reform those laws so that we can get those wages down. And you see, the benefit to doing that would make Hillary Clinton very happy. Because by doing that, we would greatly reduce inequality in wages. You know, all this talk about wage inequality between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. See, everybody thinks, wow, I want wage equality. No, you don't. No, you don't. Be careful what you wish for. Because this isn't about making the elevator go up, but making the elevator go down. This is about cutting middle-class wages so we narrow the gap between the middle class and the poor by taking down the shield. Well, the shields have come down, and they've come down at a perilous time in America's history, a very perilous time. but the wages are dropping. And for the moment, the companies will increase their profitability that are employing those foreign workers, but soon they too will suffer the same fate of everybody else. Part of why China is having problems, I believe, is because there's no consumer group more willing to part with money than Americans. It was the dumbass Americans who went out and bought the pet rock, and if that wasn't dopey enough, they then went out and bought the training manual for the pet rock. Taking the money out of those people's pockets, they can't buy anything. So we wind up with warehouses filled with crap and nowhere to go, all dressed up and nowhere to go. See, everything was running pretty good, and then greed reared its ugly head. The economy was humming. People were earning a good living. People were living a decent life. You know, vacation, a new car every 5 or 10 years. Fine. Modest dreams. Modest dreams. Forget about it. This has been a crusher for our country, for our citizens, for our way of life, for our aspirations. And you listen to the campaigns, and it is so hard to tell what they are really saying, because unless you've dug into the woodwork and seen through the BS being spewed by people like Ted Cruz, like people like Marco Rubio, you don't realize what they're about. They are about bringing in more foreign workers to help America lead. These are the same people that talk about America exceptionalism. If you believe in American exceptionalism, then you believe that Americans are the best and brightest, and we are. It was Americans who built the Panama Canal. It was the Americans who first flew an airplane. It was the Americans who built the first supersonic research aircraft, the X-1, flown by an American pilot by the name of Chuck Yeager. It was Americans who landed on the moon. Americans who built the world's first communication satellites. There's so many firsts. But we need to bring in the best and brightest. Does anybody believe this garbage? This is the same government that tells us we have a 5% unemployment rate. 5%. Right. While we ignore 90 million Americans who can't find decent jobs. 5%. In the days of the old Soviet Union, the news agencies back then were known as Pravda and Izvestia. I don't think they would have the chutzpah to peddle the lies and the BS and the Orwellian propaganda that we're being peddled right now. And when Ms. Saldana considered a hearing and talk about how she turned back $113 million, she should be removed. She should be removed. The Department of Homeland Security is where they put immigration enforcement because it is supposed to be about homeland security. Tell that to the people who lost family members. My friend Don Rosenberg, whose son was killed by an alien who had no right to be in the United States, driving without a license. Steinle family, whose daughter was killed in San Francisco, started the debate about sanctuary cities. Started the debate. How does this be allowed to continue? Under our immigration laws, harboring, shielding, inducing, aiding, abetting, encouraging are felonies. We're describing sanctuary cities. And you have Saldana, who's certainly aiding and abetting by failing to arrest and deport aliens who have no right to be here. And then they had this hearing asking about how many aliens had been admitted, and then their visas were revoked because they were believed to have been part of a terrorist group. Jason Chaffetz went nuts just 2 days ago. I'm writing about it. You'll see the article, capsweb.org. They didn't know. We're chasing a few, but there are thousands, but we definitely know about these people. We don't know about those people. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There was an article a year ago about how 6,000 foreign students had gone missing in America, students who were, for one reason or another, and they couldn't for obvious reasons divulge the reason, had a nexus potentially to national security issues and terrorism. So explain to me how in the world you wind up in a situation where we have people wandering around the country that we admitted, and now we think they might be terrorists, but we don't know where they are. We were supposed to have a system in place called U.S. Visit to track the entry and departure of aliens. It was part of the 96 Immigration Reform Act. I helped to contribute to that act working with the Subcommittee on Immigration. tracking foreign visitors was also a requirement established by the 9/11 Commission. Accenture got a $10 billion contract. $10 billion. If I hear one more person tell me about privatizing the government, I'm going to scream. They still haven't done it. They were an offshore company. When they got the contract, that division was based in Hamilton, Bermuda. They then went to Ireland. I got contacted by one of their executives who said, oh, no, we're an American company. Great. Good job. Good job. We have no idea who's inside the United States, and we've spent billions of dollars on a program that was mandated by the 9/11 Commission. But I hear all this nonsense. Oh, give it to the private sector. They know how to get the job done. Right. AIG comes to mind, right? Think of all the banks that come to mind. General Motors, private company, privatized. The problem with our government is the government has been corporatized, boys and girls. Corporations are running our government, and they're running our government into the ground, and they're using it for their own selfish purposes. It's not about privatization. It's the corporatization of America that you are witnessing, and unbridled greed. Because today, money talks. Money talks. And what it's telling our politicians flies in the face of common sense and morality and the best interests of our nation and our citizens. This is about the corporatization of the United States of America. That's where the problem lies. The people who work for the government at the low levels, the grunts like myself, I was a field agent, we understand how many risks are involved with all this. There have been whistleblowers who have come forward. You see, there's a Yiddish expression that says that when the fish goes bad, it smells from the head. For far too long, the leaders of our governments, whether we're talking about presidents or members of Congress or mayors or governors or whatever, have been taking that money from their campaign contributors, and they were being made to do what was expected of them. If a federal agent or a police officer takes a cup of coffee, internal affairs descends on them like a SWAT team. But when politicians stick out their hand and someone greases their palm, that's just another day in this great nation. We have got to get our voices heard. The new year is coming. I wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope it's healthy, peaceful, and safe for you and your families, and successful, however you measure success. But please, folks, make it your New Year's resolution. Get involved. Step away from the TV. Stop watching all these other silly programs. Pay attention to what's happening. I'm giving you a homework assignment. I need your help. We need to band together as Americans. It's not about being black, white, green, purple, Democrat, Republicans. Forget it. By the way, isn't it interesting that now when they talk about immigration, no one's talking about the Latino vote anymore. No one's talking about the Mexican border anymore. Because suddenly, what I've been saying for so many years is dawning on people. It's the entire immigration system that is rotted. If a chain is as strong as its weakest link, the immigration chain consists of very weak and all but non-existent links, and the only people who can change this situation is you and me, folks. We, the people, need to make our politicians understand that we are not as stupid as they hope we are. Please work with me to reach out to your elected representatives, make them accountable, make them understand that we are indeed paying attention, and that we will remove them from office at the next election. As they say, you're fired. I know that's Donald's favorite line. Let's make certain they hear it from all of us. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And please remember, democracy is not a spectator sport. I'm counting on you to pitch in, do your share, become part of my bucket brigade of truth, and inform your neighbors about what we are trying to accomplish. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.